The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Savior reigns, let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more lessons and sorrows grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove glories of his righteousness,
and wonders of his love,
and wonders of his
love,
and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Joy to the world,
joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Let earth
receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
And heaven and nature,
heaven and nature,
heaven and nature,
heaven and nature,
heaven
and nature sing.
Hallelujah. Yes, we give you praise, O Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for coming to the earth, Lord, and giving us salvation. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to do some more Christmas caroling. No instruments. We're just going to sing again. So this is Angels We Have Heard on High. Ready? Let's do it. Let's see.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? To Bethlehem and see Christ. Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bed the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo.
God rest
ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power, we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem and Jewry, the blessed babe was born, and laid within a manger on this blessed morn, in which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
From God our heavenly Father,
a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of pure bright. Free us all who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh,
tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds
at those tidings rejoiced much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storms, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway, blessed babe to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
And when they came
to Bethlehem, where our dear Savior lay, they found him in a manger, where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary, kneeling down, to the Lord did pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises,
all within this place, and with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace.
This holy tide of Christmas,
others do
oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Hallelujah.
Okay, one more. What child is this? What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap
is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch or keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lie in such mean estate, where ox and ass feed? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce through, the cross be home for me and you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary.
The babe, the son of
Mary.
We give you praise. Yes, we give you the glory, Lord God. Mary, did you know your baby born would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby born would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make us new? That this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, that you've kissed the face of God.
Mary, did you know, Mary,
Mary, did you know? Set us free.
The blind
will see. The deaf will hear.
The dead will live
again. The lame will leap. The dumb will speak. The praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect
child you're holding
is the great
I am. Oh Mary, did you know he's the great
I am,
the Prince of Peace. He's acquainted with our infirmity.
I am
Jesus, the great I am. He is the great I am. Oh, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Yeah,
Mary,
did you know? Yeah, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know?
With the dawn.
Jesus, Lord at thy birth. O silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with
it wouldn't be Christmas without singing Silent Night. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you the glory, Lord.
Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord, that you came for us. You didn't wait for us to find you, but you came for me.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Long lay the world in
sin and error. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Hallelujah.
A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, he the angel voice says, oh, night divine, oh, night, when Christ was born, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break. Oh, chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease.
Hallelujah.
Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. On your knees,
oh, hear
the angel voice says,
oh, night divine,
oh, night. Christ has been born. You'll find him in a manger, the Savior. Oh, what great words, Lord, announced by the angel that the Savior has been born. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful that the babe was more than a baby. He was more than just Mary's little child. He was a rescue team to come save us and rescue us from perishing in this languishing in sin. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forever and ever, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name.
Yes, yes,
we bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord, O my soul.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And all that is within us. Bless your holy name.
Thank you, Father. We bless you.
Bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless
you. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious day we remember the birth of our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the words of some of those songs are just so inspiring, you know, just to hear them and just so encouraging. So bless God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Good job. Hey, here you go. Put us in the Christmas mood. Amen. We have some of the walking wounded with us today. The hobbling wounded, Errol fell down and busted his legs up, sprained both knees, right? Yeah, man. And I just heard Donna decided to drive her car in a ditch, and airbags went off, and so she's hurt her shoulder. So I don't know. You guys, it's not safe to leave you out of the house. I have to lock you in. I don't know, man. Is that a big letdown? Well, thank goodness, you know, she went in a big ditch. Rob was saying it's pretty big. And with all that rain, thank goodness that she didn't get trapped in water, you know. And it's good to see Charles back in the house. Yeah. Woohoo! Amen. Back in the house. You can hear him before you see him. I love it. I love it. I love it. We've got some things to do, but I'm just going to do it. I hate to be such a sore winner, but if you haven't seen the paper, I love the headline on there. It says, "Note to Casino, go somewhere else." I love it. I love it. We had talked about it last week, but the newspaper came up. Pick one of these up. There's story after story. Here's a good one. Massengale should resign. I'd echo that. That's the guy with the St. Tammany Corporation who was kind of leading the battle in Baton Rouge. He missed a boat. A lot of good stuff in here, so I'd encourage you to pick up a copy and read it. It'll spur you on and make you feel good. I feel like I just got married, you know, something. I'm on the honeymoon here. You know, and I've got so much extra time, I can sleep now a little bit, you know. So it's really been great, all the wonderful things. You know, if the casino, out of every bad thing, good things flow. And the people that I've met that I didn't know before, and the new relationships that I've forged, it's really good. So that, just knowing some other people. And in case you didn't know this, we were concerned about the west side of the parish voting in favor of the casino. Well, as it turns out, the west side voted in a greater majority against the casino than we did here in the Slidell area. So we're really pleased with that, to find that. So I think Slidell area was somewhere around the high 50s against. And on the other side of the parish, they were in the 70s against. So it was a really big difference. So that helped us out considerably. So anyway, I need to get out of the casino mood, but it just feels so good not to have that hanging over our head. And God gets all the glory, you know. Everyone who gets congratulated, almost to the man or the woman, say, give God the glory. You know, give God the glory. So all of us. No, I don't have to shut up. But he's probably getting tired of hearing me saying casino, casino. I don't know. But we don't know where they're going. Who knows? We might get an entourage and follow them wherever they go. Because that casino license is valuable. The governor wants it working. So I'd like to take it and burn it. So, but that's another story. We got some Christmas things to do today. And Miss Sherry has got a Christmas story that she wrote. And she's going to come and read that to us. Or recite it. Or sing it. I'm not quite sure. But she's going to come up here and do it. Here comes Sherry. Yay! Whoa, 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 whoa. You need a microphone. Okay, now.
A couple years ago, there was a lot of stuff on the TV and radio and signs. It's Christmas, it's Christmas. Come buy this. Come buy that. It's Christmas. Come in here and buy. I'm like, that's not Christmas. And even a lot of the songs and stories that weren't Christian-based are Christmas is for getting, not giving. It's getting. I said, I'm tired of this. And prayed about it and got a little poem. 'Twas the first night of Christmas, and all through the land, not a creature was stirring, not even a lamb. The stars were all shining so clear and so bright with hopes and prayers of a long, silent night. The shepherds were all dozing, their heads hung low, while the sheep slept with trust, safe from the foe. The crickets sang softly, and a gentle breeze blew as all settled down for a siesta or two. When up in the sky there rose such a sound, they sprang forth from their sleep with a leap and a bound. Up they jumped in startled surprise to gaze at a sight that did mystify. A light shone all around with no cause in sight. It brightened the field with a noon bright light. Then appearing to their startlement and fright, a heavenly angel in dazzling flight. With a sound like trumpets so loud and so clear, the angel of the Lord did before them appear. The shepherds did tremble with fear and dismay. They fell to their knees and started to pray. With a voice like thunder, the angel did say, "Do not fear, for good tidings I bring you this day. In the city of Bethlehem, a child is born who will bring all people hope, and they will never more mourn. In a manger so humbled and swaddled in love, the child is Christ, the Son of God above. He will bring hope to the nations and healings for all. He will find all who are lost and save us from the fall." Then a heavenly host of angels did appear, saying and singing in voices so clear, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill to men." The shepherds in wonder and hope did proclaim, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this child of fame." So they and their flock did gather together to travel and see the child that will make all things better. They found him, as they were told, in a manger laid with Mary and Joseph and the love they conveyed. The baby in peace did sleep when the shepherds did leave, rejoicing and sharing all they had seen. This quiet Christmas was long, long ago celebrated by shepherds, angels, and God alone, foretelling of a promise given in the past of a Savior that is loving to the downcast. His name is Jesus, and with his birth, he has given us hope and brought light to the earth. He conquered death to bring us to God and filled the promise of life to the flawed. So with this celebration of love and good cheer, remember the Christ child who cast out all fear, and keep Christmas now and throughout the year, a heart filled with grace and love to all far and near. Merry Christmas.
Being a writer, I can tell you that it's not easy to do to write that, because you go over and over and over. The one thing I've discovered about writing is that there's always more you can add to it. You know, always something more, some changes you can make. And finally, you just reach the point and say, that's it. And so thank you, Sherry, for doing it, Sherry. Brian, did you tell me that you wanted to, you had something you wanted to read this morning? No? Well, I guess it wasn't you then. So I thought it was. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've been sitting here debating this, and I'm going to see if I can do it anyway. Hold on just a minute. Don't go anywhere. No, I'll do it myself. It just takes me longer to do things with one hand, but I can do whatever I need to do most of the time. I was sometimes I get in a really weird mood when I write, and I have a strange imagination. It's always I like to think about what it was really like, you know, when things are happening. And so I wrote something, and it's in the newspaper. And since Fran, I had time for Fran, since she didn't have it, I'm just going to read what I wrote. There you go. Now, don't throw any stones at me. Hurry up, Mary. Everyone is ready to leave, and it's not safe to travel by ourselves, shouted Joseph as he was outside packing. I'm almost ready, replied Mary in her always calm voice as she exited their house. Joseph looked up at his bride, and a smile crept across his face. She was beautiful. Perhaps more beautiful since she became pregnant. She seemed to glow with a radiance that made his heart flutter whenever he gazed at her natural beauty. Lucky guy, he said to himself for the thousandth time. He was worried, but she returned his smile as if they hadn't a problem in the world. The small caravan of travelers gathered at the edge of town to begin the long trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, up one mountain path and down another. The small band slowly moved forward. Everyone kept a close eye on Mary. She was so pregnant, if she would fall and roll down a hill if she didn't watch her step. Finally, after almost 7 days, Bethlehem popped into view in the evening twilight. A sense of excitement rushed through the weary travelers as it shimmered in the distance. The city of David was the ancient home of this group of David's descendants. Bethlehem was overflowing with relatives from all over Israel. Joseph hoped his local kinfolk would have room for he and Mary. I'm so sorry, he lamented to the disappointed couple. With all my children and their children, there's no space in my house, and there's no space in the town. The whole city is filled, and there's nowhere to stay. We've cleared out an area in the barn attached to the house. Will that do? He asked. Joseph replied that it would. Although Mary was not complaining, she was exhausted and needed any place to stop and rest. The abode was as clean as a barn can be, and Joseph made a faux bed for Mary to rest. She eased herself onto the make-do pallet, placing both her hands on the back of her hips, and sighed as she closed her eyes and immediately fell asleep. Joseph finished a few necessary chores and quietly laid beside her. He was drifting into a deep sleep when Mary's voice broke through and brought him back to consciousness. Joseph, I'm having pain. I think the baby's coming. Go get help. Joseph raced to the house and in a panic beat on the door until the owner's voice could be heard. All right, I'm coming. He opened the door and the eyes of the two men met, and panic escalated as Joseph sputtered, "The baby's coming." Quick as a flash, the landlord's wife was up and into the barn. She shooed the men away and assisted Mary as she gave birth. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The promised King of Kings was born in Bethlehem. That's it. Not exactly scriptural, but you get the message. These are real people, just like you and me. And going through that is always a change. Yes, ma'am? Yes? Wait, I need to get you a microphone because people can't hear you. Oh, we can turn the cameras. There you go.
I just wanted to add a little something to what Morris read. Years ago, I brought a picture of a feeding trough, and Jim put it on the screen, and it said, "This is the first king-size bed."
That's good. I don't remember that. The first king-size bed. I love it. Well, Christmas always brings music and color and gaiety and happiness and all the things that make the Christmas season great. I tend to get a little aggravated with the commercialization of Christmas, but I've never aggravated with the joyfulness of Christmas, because unto us a son has been born that was promised, and they had waited for eons for this to happen. And every Jewish girl knew that the Redeemer would be born, and they didn't know who would be the mom. And so they had sort of an expectation through the ages as to who it would be. But God, in his ability to surprise everyone, chose Mary. Very young, probably just in her early teens, and Joseph not much older, maybe some believe maybe 19, maybe 20. So they were young. Life was short back in those days. You didn't live very long for the most part. So they started their families very, very early. Jim is always searching for videos for us to see, and he found one that I think will set the tempo for today's message. So, Jim, if you're ready, we'll watch that video. It's The Wonder of His Love, Christmas.
You are not alone. That's what Jesus came to tell you. This ancient story of a scared yet hopeful mother, a savior king swaddled in a manger, noble stargazing pilgrims, lowly shepherds, and glorious hosts of heaven filling the night sky to announce peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Every word is about how God longs to be with us. In the noise that we create because we're afraid of the silence, God comes with one word, love. And if you'll stop and listen, you'll hear him calling your name. He is a personal God. He became one of us to prove it. It seems like it's too good to be true. But God, who created all things, created you for love. He created you for joy. And this joy, the joy you long for, and this love, the love you struggle to receive, it's here, now, waiting. But will you let yourself hope? Will you let yourself dream? dream? Will you let yourself wonder at the glory of God who came to dwell among us? Because God is in the business of exceeding expectations and redeeming stories. He takes small beginnings and makes them into more than we could have ever asked. That's what he did by coming as a helpless baby in a manger, and that is exactly what he promises to do with you. And this is the wonder of his love.
Janine just handed this to me. She wrote, "The bread of life, born in the house of bread," that's what Bethlehem actually really means, "was laid in a feeding trough." Think about that, all right? The bread of life, born in the house of bread, was laid in a feeding trough. Thank you, Janine. Lots of good thoughts about that. Donald Bryant, pastor down the street, Pastor Donald Bryant, I asked him to speak and give us a Christmas message at the Slidell Ministers Association, and he began with a bit of humor. And there were two ladies up in age a little bit, and they were going somewhere across town, and as they were driving, they ran right through a red light. And the lady who was a passenger, she just was startled, you know, but she didn't want to say anything and upset her friend, so she just kept quiet. Well, she kept going down the road, and she ran another light. And you can only imagine the panic that set into this woman, but she didn't say a word. Well, wouldn't you know it, she ran past the third red light, and the woman finally, she couldn't hold anyone. "Mildred, you just ran through three red lights." And she said, "Am I supposed to be driving?" Yeah, so, you know, things are not always what they seem, okay? Well, the wonder of his love in the Christmas story and all that goes along with it. So the first presents of Christmas had great value. The first presents of Christmas had great value. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is the Magi, the wise guys. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Father, we love this story. Thank you for inspiring the men of old to record it, to write it down, and then see into it that it was preserved and protected through the ages, so that here, this day, at the end of December in the year 2021, we still have this word in this story written down that has withstood the test of time, so that we could have it, this inspired word of God, to tell us what really happened. Not my imagination, but really happened, the events of that most precious time. So, Father, we ask you to give us divine inspiration to understand, to be inspired, and to transform Christmas into a wonderful, wonderful time as we remember the Christ child. And this is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. One of the hallmarks of Christmas is the giving of gifts. As you can tell, around the church, we have gifts. And if this tradition began, so we would assume with the Magi, they were the first one to bring gifts to Jesus, but they weren't necessarily the first gifts of the Christmas season. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But these travelers from the East gave more than just presents at Bethlehem. They gave their lives to the study of the scriptures in Messiah. They knew about it. They were probably from the Israel originally, and as you know, Israel had been captured many times and dispersed throughout that region. So they had Jewish people all over the place at that time. And so these Magi were probably from an area where the Jews had been taken to, and they grew and they prospered there. So they gave their lives to the study of the word because they knew it. And then they gave their time to make a very hard journey. You know, we don't think of driving much, going someplace. You know, we can hop in a car and drive 500-600 miles and, you know, don't even think about it. Or if we really want to travel, we'll get on a plane and fly thousands of miles and don't think about it. But when they went on a trip, it was really difficult. It was difficult because the only means of transportation was your feet, maybe an animal, a camel, or some other beast of burden. And they would go through land that was very dangerous. There were always bad guys in the land, and so it was dangerous. And so they took their time and really risked their lives. But they gave their hearts. It says here in the beginning, it said, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. This trip gave them great joy. I can only imagine, and maybe I'll write a story about it one day, what it was like to travel with those guys, what they saw and what they talked about and how they probably pondered the scriptures and knowing the way groups were. We don't know how many men they had. It probably, you know, there are three gifts. Well, there's probably a lot more than three that came just because of safety reasons. They usually traveled in groups. So what they might have discussed, there's always a naysayer in the group that probably said, are you sure we're supposed to be following a star? You know, is this really the right way to go? So, but they came and they were joyful, and they came with great expectations. You know, and the story of Christmas leads to expectations. Probably the biggest expectation at Christmas time is presents. You know, and with little kids, they're the most fun because they get to see things and, you know, that they didn't expect, and the excitement of that, opening their presents, and for adults too, and the joy. In our family, we have a tradition that Christmas Eve is our time for opening gifts. That's because my mother would never wait till Christmas morning to open a gift. I mean, she loved Christmas like a little girl. I mean, she never lost the wonder of it, and so my dad always tried to do everything he could to keep her from knowing what it was. She would take those presents and she'd shake them so much, trying to figure out what it was long before Christmas Eve showed up. The best he did one day is he had a package. It was about 8 inches long and about 3 inches wide and about 2 inches high. And it was heavy. And she shook that thing and looked at it and tried her best to figure out what it was. So on Christmas Eve, when it was time to open the present, she grabbed that thing and ripped the paper off of it. It was a brick. That dad gave her a brick. And then he came out. He said, open that package. That's a real gift for you. But he laughed so hard. But, you know, their expectations. The Magi went to Jerusalem expecting to find a king. They did. That's what they went for. The shepherds went to Bethlehem expecting to find a Savior. That's why they went. We go to the cross looking to find eternal life. And the good thing is, nobody has been disappointed with their expectations. Everybody found exactly what they were looking for. So let's take a look at the presents that were given at that first Christmas and see if we can get ourselves excited. God's gift at Christmas had heavenly value. This is real, you know, the scripture you wouldn't normally think of using at Christmas, but for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Probably the greatest gift, I would say. the gift that God gave. God had waited for many, many years and decades and centuries and millennium from the promise of the garden to bring this seed of a woman to save the world. And so he did. The first gift was from the Father, and he gave his only Son. But Jesus was more than a Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. And it demonstrates the great love of God to give Jesus to us. You know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we kind of overwork word groupings of God loves you. We know God loves us and God is love. But sometimes we lose the wonder of that God does love us. And just to prove it, what more precious gift could you give than your only Son? You think about that for a moment. Those of you who have children, we protect our kids, we watch over them, and they are a treasure that we enjoy all the days of our lives. We see our kids, and then God's gift continues when our kids have kids. Somebody said, and I've said it before, grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your kids. You know, because many a day, you know, I brought you in this world, I could take you out and make another one just like you, you know. You feel that way raising kids. But God demonstrated his love, and God demonstrates the value that God sees in you. You know, somewhere along the line in our theology, we've started describing ourselves as a worthless worm. You know, what a worm am I? You know, I'm no good. I'm just a sinner deserving hell and all that. And I understand why people say that. But when God sees you, he doesn't see that. He sees someone that he loves, and he sees great value in you. You're so valuable that he sent his Son so you wouldn't spend eternity in death and in darkness. That's what this story of Jesus is all about. So there's no better way of saying I love you than when God gave his Son. What a gift that was. I don't know that this happened, but I could just imagine when Jesus told heaven goodbye. He said, I'm leaving. Can you imagine the lament of the angels and the celestial beings? Can you imagine the anxiety, if the anxiety could exist at that level? I don't know. But certainly Father felt the pain of it. You know, God, we think God is emotionless. God is not emotionless. He loves. He cares. Jesus cried, demonstrated that. If you want to know what God's like, look, read the story of Jesus. He's just like his dad. So God's love is more than idle words. It was his Son's life for your life. If that ever sinks in, you'll never take Christmas for granted again. You know, his life for your life. And he knew how it would end before it began. You know, this is a poor analogy, but I think you'll get the image of it. When someone sends their sons off to war, you know, they're worried and they're concerned, but they have that expectation of that child coming back to them. Some didn't, obviously. That's the way war is. And this child died. He died a cruel death. And someone said he could have called 10,000 angels to rescue Jesus, but he didn't. Thankfully for us that he didn't. Jesus could have not drank of the cup, but he decided to drink of it anyway for us. In fact, he asked a very poignant question, and Pat has brought this up several times, is when Jesus said, is there another way? And there is no other way. The only way for you to be rescued, to spend eternity with God, is for the Christ child, this little baby that we venerate and adore and love to talk about at Christmas, gave everything, gave his precious life for your life, that you would have life. So when we wrap presents following God's example of giving, we have thoughts about who we're going to give something to. We pick things out for a certain person that you believe that they will enjoy it and that it'll have meaning to them. So you select presents for someone that you love and you care about. The more you love them, the harder you look to try to find just the right thing. We sacrifice our finances. Gifts cost us something. Whether it's a hand-me-down something from somebody else because you're so poor that you can't afford to buy something new, which is search for just the right thing, or if you're wealthy enough to buy very expensive things and give them. I am not deeply in prayer, but I pray about it occasionally. I keep waiting for my daughter to buy me a new Ferrari. It's only hope. I'm never getting enough money to do it. I'm hoping, you know. Maybe the kids will chip in together and get that to me. But they got to hurry because I want to be able to drive it. I don't want to just look at it. So, and we place it under the tree at the appropriate hour to be opened. You know, we think about Jesus being the present of God. He wasn't put under a tree. He was put on the tree, you know. Put on that tree and died for us. So you can't have the Christmas story and understand it and appreciate it unless you talk about the purpose of this God-man who was given to us. So it's every gift that we exchange at Christmas time is an echo of God saying, I love you. It's a demonstration of love. When we give a gift and when we receive gifts, we're following that pattern of exchange of love. It's our gifts, we often forget who gave us what and when they gave it to us, and it goes into the ash heap of history and forgetfulness, but we haven't forgotten this gift. It's still here, and we still remember it every year. So, That is a gift from God. It was a heavenly gift. Now, the Magi, the gift at Christmas, had earthly value. Now let's go back and look at the scripture we looked at previously. On coming to the house, by the way, and you know this, but just for those who may be watching who hadn't heard it before, Jesus was no longer in the stable. He was no longer a baby. Some years had transpired. We know that from other things. You notice that they called him, they saw the child with his mother. It wasn't the baby. It's referred to in a more age-appropriate word to describe him. And that when Herod decided to kill the Christ child, he killed anyone 2 years old or younger. So he was probably a toddler at this stage when this happened. So he was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They found what they were looking for. Oh man, I don't know if Jesus had a glow, but they sure knew they were at the right place. So then they opened their treasures. Like I love that. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There have been volumes have been written about this. What were they? What's the symbolism behind it? Why these things and not others? So no one, I think, will ever tap on the completeness of it, but I want to talk about them as earthly gifts. Jesus is a heavenly gift. These were earthly gifts that were exchanged. These gifts were produced by the earth itself. Gold comes from the earth. Frankincense is a product of the earth. Myrrh is a product of the earth. They were here as part of creation. Jesus was not a product of the earth. He's a product of heaven. All right? His deity itself. He took upon him the form of a man, and I'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. But gift of gold. Gold is the best earth that earth has to offer. Wherever you read, every book you've ever read, whenever men search for treasures, they search for gold. There was a movie I enjoyed many years ago, a musical called Paint Your Wagon. And they were searching for gold. Men went to the California looking for gold. They went to Alaska looking for gold. Men have searched for gold everywhere because it's so precious. It's such an unusual commodity from many other things. Frankincense is another something that we don't think of, that the name just kind of throws us off a little bit. Sounds a little bit like Frankenstein, which none of us want to be around. But it's a natural ointment that sweetens the air and gives a fragrance, and I'll talk about that a little bit. And myrrh is a common element used to dull pain. It has medicinal properties to it. So gold is a staple of kings. You know, kings have, you ever seen I was going to call it a helmet, but that's not true, the crown that Queen Elizabeth has? I mean, this thing's solid gold. They said it, I've read that it's so heavy that it's almost impossible to wear it, without cricking your neck. You know, it's just a heavy, heavy thing studded with unbelievable jewels. So, the idea of gold that was used in the temple, when you read about the temple being put together and the tabernacle, gold was used everywhere. The mercy seat is a pure gold. You know, by the way, most of the gold you have is got a lot of other things mixed in it to give it strength. Pure gold, 24 karat gold, is very soft and pliable. With your rings and your bracelets and other things that we have that are gold, have another material in it. That's what 14 karat gold is probably the most common. If you got a little extra money, you can get 18 karat gold, which has greater value. And if you really can break the bank, you get 24 karat gold. So gold is a very usable, pliable, indestructible, non-tarnishing product. You ever notice that when they find these ships from yesteryear that sank in the Caribbean and other places, and they find the gold coins? The unusual thing is that they always look like they're brand new, because gold doesn't tarnish. Now, they find silver. Many times you see silver coins, and they're crusted, and they have to go through the process of cleaning them, but gold doesn't do that. So, the other thing about gold, it's desired by everybody. I mean, if somebody walked in here and threw a handful of gold coins, we'd be scrambling like rats trying to get it. I mean, hey, it's something we want. In fact, this is funny. I've done a lot of weddings, and I have a thing about the ring. Before you give the ring, I always say, they're made out of, their circle talks about endless love, and they're made out of gold, which doesn't tarnish easily, and, I kind of make part of that for wedding service. When Kathy and Nick got married, and I had given them a copy of the service beforehand so that they could see it, Nick called me and said, "Morris, you have to change this." And I said, "Why?" I said, "I'm not getting a gold ring. His ring is made out of titanium or something. That's the new thing now. People are using some other material other than gold." So I had to change up the service because of that. So gold is something that we like. We like to have gold. You can always tell if you have a gold necklace or a faux gold necklace. If it's faux gold, you end up with a green ring around your neck. You know, everybody said that happened. Had a ring, turn your finger green. I just read it. I don't know why I would think of this. but I just read where somebody was getting divorced, some Hollywood mogul type, and the girl discovered, I don't know if this is the reason she got a divorce, but she found out that her husband had given her what do they call those things? It's a faux diamond? Zirconium. Yeah, gave her a zirconium wedding ring. She wasn't very happy. She, I guess she was getting rid of that bum. So at any rate, it's okay you give one as long as you tell them what it is. Okay. Frankincense is an interesting thing. It's the sap of a tree that they crush into powder, and they use it like for incense, you know, to be burned. It gives off a sweet, sweet fragrance. It's symbolic of prayer. We don't use it much, but in many traditional type churches, Catholic churches, Anglican churches, they burn incense, and it gives off that fragrance. It's very very appealing. If you've never smelled it, it's very appealing. It's extracted as an oil, and perfume is made from it. So it was a perfume when the lady took Mary, took, we think it was Mary, so Mary Magdalene probably did this, when she took that bottle of ointment she had, it was probably a derivative of frankincense, very valuable commodity. If you think perfume isn't expensive, go try buying real perfume, not eau de toilette, which is smelly water, but you know, getting the real McCoy. I mean, a little ounce of it could cost you a lot of money to get. So that gives you some idea of the value that was in this frankincense, and it's normally known for its sweet aroma. All right, so it's just got that fresh, sweet aroma. By the way, do you notice at Christmas time, if you watch TV at all, they have perfume commercials, and they never make any sense? You know, you'd say, what is going on? They give you all these crazy screenshots, especially Chanel. You know, they're the best at giving. I look at them and say, what are they doing? They must be drinking this stuff, you know. I don't know, to come up with these commercials. Well, that's another story. So, and our last gift here is myrrh. It's an expensive spice, has medicinal properties, and it's used for anointing the dead, preserving the body. One of the ingredients of Jewish oil, of anointing oil that they use, they had myrrh in it, okay? In Esther, it was used for purification for the women. If you read in the book of Esther, it's spoken of. In Psalms, it's mentioned as several places as a perfume. And Mark, you see that Jesus was offered wine with myrrh in it. And it was a painkiller. It could be used as a painkiller. Jesus refused it. So, and it says, and this is kind of mind-boggling, that they used 75 pounds of it for the embalming of Jesus. So that was a very expensive, if they actually did use that much. I suspect, I haven't studied it out, but I suspect it's probably not 75 pounds like we would measure today. So it comes from an Aramaic word, which is translated bitter. So we have this thing of, it won't tarnish, this solid thing of gold, and then we have something that gives a sweet fragrance, and then we have something else that gives a bitter fragrance. And you can see why theologians have spent countless hours trying to figure out what was the real message behind it. I'm kind of a pragmatist, and I've said this before, that in my opinion, the real reason for all these things was value. God knew that Jesus and Mary had to go into Egypt, and they were poor people. I mean, they were not rich by a long shot, and they needed money to live. And that gold, frankincense, and myrrh gave them a life where they could get food and housing and all the other things that they needed during that period of exile. So those are the earthly gifts. So we have the heavenly gift of Jesus, the earthly gift of Christmas, or the most famous that we talk about is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then there's Jesus' gift at Christmas had eternal value. In Philippians 2, 6, and 7, who, being talking about Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. We think about the gifts that were given to Jesus, but Jesus was giving gifts to us when he laid down his glory. Some of you may have had this happen to you in life where you've had some success in life and then things turn sour and you're at the bottom of the barrel instead of the top of the barrel. And life has these ups and downs, especially if you own a business. You know, it's got these cycles. They had a TV program with one time with some very successful businessmen, and that they were all multimillionaires, and they were being interviewed, and they asked one of the guys about the cycles of having it all and not having anything. You know, what did he learn from that? He said, "But I learned from that, life's a lot better if you got money." You know, and I think that's true. Well, Jesus turned in all his money. He cashed in all his chips. In that, you do not have the capacity, neither do I, neither does anybody else on this planet, have the capacity to comprehend what that really means. Where the creator of this universe laid it all down and took up the rags, if you will. Let's go back to the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just whatever, you know, things they could get and put on this child as it was born. They didn't have a wardrobe for him. They didn't have a shower where they got lots of presents to do that. That's the poorness of it. And so the creator of it all, the first time we see him, where he's visible, he's wrapped in just some clean rags or something that they found to wrap the baby in. So you talk about a step off a cliff. That was a pretty big step. And it said, it's interesting the words of the scripture. It says here, he made himself nothing. It's not like Father stripped him of it. It's that he made himself. It was his will to do what had to be done. Later on, the scripture says that no man took his life from him, but he gave his life willingly. We can look at the manger scene and see the difference as much as we can understand. But the willingness to go from a feeding trough to the cross is unbelievable. The people who lived under Roman rule knew what a crucifixion was. It happened all the time. It wasn't done, you know, today when someone has committed a crime and they're executed, it's done pretty much in private. Very few people are there, family members, and we don't want the world to see what it looks like. That's one of the reasons. The Romans didn't care. Just put it out for everyone to see. Part of a deterrent, if you will, by seeing it. And Jesus chose to do that. That's the gift for you. That's how valuable you are. That he would go through that and give his life for us, leave heaven, took on the very nature of a servant, being made in the likeness of human. There's a school of theology that talks about Jesus that he was half man and half God. And that is not true. He was 100% God and 100% man. He looked like every other Jewish boy born of that time period. Probably dark-skinned. Probably not very tall, probably had some features about him that identified him from that part of the world, recognizable in that respect. But he was not any different than anyone else. I've heard someone say one time, well, Jesus never fell when he was a boy and never cut himself and never hurt himself because his blood was so precious that it couldn't be spilled before the crucifixion. I don't buy that. You know, I don't have any proof behind that, but little boys scuff themselves and cut themselves and bang their heads and everything else. And if he didn't do that, then he didn't really experience life as a little Jewish boy. And I believe he did. I believe he went through it all. I think he had times of joy and times he cried. Times when mama had to kiss his bobo. Sometimes she had to put some myrrh on it. Ouch! And they, I don't know if they had cod liver oil back there, but if everybody here is old enough to remember what that stuff is. Man, if he had to take some of that stuff, he was not a happy camper. So, you don't want to drink that stuff. It's nasty. I mean, my mother used to try to mix stuff in it so it wouldn't kill you when you drank it. So, any rate, but the point I'm trying to make is, let's be real about who he was. You know, he was a real human being who suffered all the tragedies of life that you and I suffer so that he might know what you know. And then we could have greater compassion on you because he suffered those things. I tell you, folks, it's one thing to see a movie about somebody falling off a cliff. It's a completely different thing for you to fall off the cliff. Jesus fell off the cliff. He gave it all up for us. That was a great gift that he gave us. He gave his life on earth as a sacrifice for us, a sweet sacrifice for us. We I'm sure if I looked around the room, you have a little crosses that people carry in their pocket, some people a little necklace or bracelets. We have a cross. We venerate the cross. We have one on the wall behind me. How crazy that is if you think about it. When a tool designed to kill someone was transformed from a hideous thing to a glorious thing for the church. We take great joy in the cross. We sing about the cross, the old rugged cross. We talk about going to the cross, kneeling at the cross. So what this world intended for evil, God transformed to good for you and I. But it reminds us that the gift of Christ for you was very, very valuable. His loss became our gain. His sorrow became our joy. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So his suffering gives us a good life, gives us healing, gives us hope, gives us joy. We can sing joy to the world. It's joyful to us from our prison. From God's prison, it's hard, it's difficult. But he gave him his son, and Jesus freely took upon himself the form of a man to be here for us. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. He shook off the trappings of death. He tasted death, that bittersweet myrrh, so that we could have the sweetness of life. He did that for us. So, he ultimately, the Christ child, came to die. He was born to die. And not just to die, but to die a horrific death. What was the worst thing of Calvary? And I know it's Christmas, but what was the worst thing of Calvary? It wasn't the cross, and it wasn't the beating, and it wasn't the nails, and it wasn't the crown of thorns. It wasn't the ridicule and the humility of it all. That was not the worst thing of Calvary. The worst thing of Calvary was your sins and my sins that put him there. Said that he became sin on our behalf. How great is the Christ child and worthy of veneration, of bowing down and worshiping like the wise man did? It's worth everything that we should worship him for what he did for us. We're so gracious. We thank people that give us gifts and we thank them. Oh, this is just what I needed. Oh, I've been wanting one of these. Thank you so much. I've never had one of these before, kind of a thing. So there's that sense of joy in the gifts that we receive. But that joy raised to the power of infinity is the joy that God gives to us in Christ. One of the most mysterious scriptures for me that today that I discovered it, it says that for the joy set before him, he despised the shame and endured the cross. And as when I first studied that out and saw it, and you know, the realization came to me that the joy was us. We gave him joy, so much joy. He has so much love and adoration and feeling towards us that he gave his life at Calvary's tree, knowing that we could be transformed, that we would become resurrected. We would have bodies just like his. He took a body like ours and he exchanges it for a body just like his. What an exchange. What a gift. What a joyful thing that he did. Every morning we wake up and thank God for the new day. Every morning God wakes up and thanks Father for you, that you were given to him. You are his inheritance. We're co-heirs with him of all that God has in store for us and for himself. He tasted the bitterness of death so that we wouldn't have to. You will never die. You will never die. Oh, your body will give out one day. It'll run out of gas, you know, and we'll put you in a mayonnaise jar or a fancy urn or a coffin or something. But this body will die. But you will never die. You will live for all eternity. I don't know why people have a problem understanding that. We always want to make these caveats. Well, I have eternal life until I do something wrong and then I lose it. Eternal life is exactly by definition what it says it is. It's eternal. The only way that you can die, the only possibility that I can see, is that Christ would have to die again. He would have to die for you to die. And he will never die. He died once for all men. Never to die again. So that you and I will never have to taste death. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? It is in Christ Jesus the Lord who gives us the victory through what he did. So remember that as you sing about his birth at Christmas, and we'll be singing more Christmas songs before the day is out and the week is over, some of which have nothing to do with Christmas, as Donald Bryant pointed out at the Slidell Ministers Association meeting. We got no snow. There's no snow bells ringing, you know. There's no sleds running around with horses. We don't even know what a sled is. We know what a pirogue is, but we don't know what a sled is. We have no clue. And the mystery of it all is we have no chestnuts roasting on an open fire, because we don't know what it is. Pecans, maybe, but chestnuts, never, all right? So a lot of Christmas stories have nothing to do with the Christ child, but some of them do, like we sang this morning, that speak of him and what he did and what he did for us. So I want to close this morning with a scripture. I don't have an overhead for it. I was going over my, which I do every Sunday. I go back over everything. And this came to me, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us. This is what Tom O'Brien spoke about last week. A child will be born to us. We are the reason for the season. It's us. It's really, from God's perspective, it's all about us. A son will be given to us. The only reason Jesus came was because of us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who we worship today. That's whose birth we celebrate today at this Christmas time. So when you think about things, and maybe you're, sometimes people get depressed and mournful at the holidays if they've lost a loved one and the loved one isn't with them any longer, or maybe their life's not as joyful as some people who are singing joyful songs. If you want to have joyfulness, remember who you are, that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son so loved you that he laid down heaven's glory to come here for you. And these gifts, these earthly gifts, this gold and frankincense and myrrh, I think we'll find that in the heavenly realm. I know there's streets of gold, so there'll be some gold. I'll bet you there'll be some sweet-smelling stuff around. And there says that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. So, you know, there may be a little myrrh around, too. I don't know. But the greatest joy of heaven will be seeing Jesus face to face. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly value, earthly value, and eternal value. And God willing, next week we'll go into the new year, thinking about the year 2022, and I want to talk about change. All right? I think we need to make some changes in 2022, and I'll try to get you thinking about that. Also, someone's already asked me, and the answer is yes. We will be fasting for the first 21 days of the year. And I'll tell you the truth, I contemplated not doing it. I really did. I contemplate every year. And this morning I was watching Jensen Franklin, and I thought to myself, I didn't say it, I just kind of thought, maybe he's not going to do it anymore. He's been doing it for 30 years. Maybe he'll stop. And he said, yes, in the first 21 days of January, we will follow our tradition of having a fast. I said, okay, God, we'll do it. All right? So we'll do it, and I'll be talking to you some about that probably next week and getting ourselves prepared for it. So, Father, how good you are. Thank you for loving us. And, Lord, we don't really get it. We try to comprehend it, but your love for us exceeds our ability to comprehend and to understand. But Lord, as best we know how, as frail human beings, we worship you and praise you and thank you for your goodness. Thankful that Jesus came as a child. We all love children. And to imagine the Christ child gives us all a sense of joy and a sense of peace. And vicariously, we're like the shepherds who went to see at Bethlehem. We're like the wise men who went to see. And we too go there to see the King, the bread of life, that the city of bread lying in a feeding trough. And we partake freely of the life that you've given to us. We rejoice in it, and we thank you, Father. Let our days be safe. Watch over us. Let your healing virtue come to Donna, Lord, that she won't be too banged up from her mishap. And touch the arrow, Lord, and take the pain away from the sprain that he had. And Mike Walker is recovering from heart surgery. And Miss Beverly, Lord, take care of her. And all those who are sick, Miss Bobby, having some physical aches and pains, as we all do. So watch over us, Father. Give us health today and through the Christmas season, that we can enjoy our families and be singing the songs of Zion throughout this time. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And all the children said, amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer or something special, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to do my best for you. Amen. Goodbye, everyone watching us. Bye-bye.